Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the first week of the Pal on Wheels events is in the books. We'll recap the events in Memphis, Paragould, and Little Rock. A lot of big crowds that we've seen through the first week of those. Jonesboro and Mountain Home coming up later this week. We'll talk about that. Also, we had several track and field athletes competing at the NCAA West Prelims in Fayetteville. We'll recap what happened there. But speaking of track, we are honored today to have one of A-State's all-time greats, Hall of Honor member, three-time All-American, a guy who went on to a storied career, highlighted by a gold medal in the triple jump at the 1984 Olympics. It's Al Joyner. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great. It's always great to hear. I call it my old stomping grounds, Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and the state of Arkansas, so it's always great.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, but I want to start out with this. When you think back on your career, and it was an amazing career, how important was that decision to come to Arkansas State?
I get chills thinking about it because how I got to Arkansas State, that I was going to go there anyway as a student because I got accepted. That was the only college that accepted me quickly, but I ended up going to Tennessee State for about a semester. So when I go back now and think about it, it was one of the biggest things that I went to the college for, and I filled out the application for Arkansas State. And lucky that when it was time for me to move on, I was already accepted at Arkansas State University, not knowing that that's where history for me would be made and my whole life would change.
This is an interesting little footnote. I don't know if I've ever heard. You started out somewhere else?
Yes, for a semester. And I was at Tennessee State University for a semester. And then I called Coach Guy Koch. It's funny, I called two different ASUs. One was Arizona State University, and the other was Arkansas State University. The guy from Arizona State said, come on down. I said, no, that's what got me at this doggone Tennessee State. Come on down. Now, I need more information. And so Coach Koch laid it all out for me. He told me great information, not knowing that eventually that Coach Koch would be like, become my father, really. Yeah. And so to come to Arkansas State, based off on the way he took the time and understanding, it was great. And I just always remember the first time I came into the office, the track office down at the stadium, it had three pictures. It had a picture of Ed Preston, Coach Hill, and Earl Bell. And I asked him, I said, what are those? He said, those are our three Olympians. I said, oh, really? And he told me what he'd been. And then I said, is any of them a gold medalist? He said, nah. And I said, well, I'm going to be your first. He started laughing.
You called it.
I'm serious. I'll be your first.
Well, listen, so here all this time, and we all know Guy Koch was a legend, but part of that legend was that my whole time as an Arkansas State person, I think one of the things he did was he went to East St. Louis and he got Al Joyner, and now I know Al Joyner found him.
Oh, no, it was meant to be because Coach Koch called me, well, he called my high school because I got really good in triple jump really very quickly. So a lot of universities overlooked me because I went from being nobody in April of 1978. And then in those 3 months time, I became from nobody to end up becoming fifth in the United States coming out of high school. So they didn't think that could really happen. So when I was in the process about to transfer, Coach Koch called my high school and said, we're looking for this guy, you know, Al Joyner. He thought I was a junior. And they said, no, he's already graduated. As soon as Coach Koch hung up the phone, I called him. And that's how it was just meant to be. It was just meant to be.
All right. So you were a kid from East St. Louis. How did you get into track and field to begin with?
I really didn't like track and field. I thought I was going to be an Olympic swimmer, Olympic diver. So my whole goal was, even though when I came to Arkansas State, I was going to be on a swim team, find out they didn't have a swim team. And then the only reason I got in track and field was because they made me run track. And then, you know, my sister Jackie, everybody know now, is the world's greatest female athlete. I thought I had some talent, but I just thought anybody ran around in circles was crazy. But you see, I became a crazy fool because track ended up taking me around the world.
You know, you mentioned Coach Cottrell, and I know it was such a special relationship, and you've already kind of talked about that. But that's a relationship that continued the rest of his life. I remember reading a comment, you know, as soon as he passed a few years ago, just how much you thought of him. But I can't imagine there was many people more special in your life than what he was. And obviously you had a storied career, but so did he during his time at Arkansas State.
Like I said, he was like a dad for me. He prepared me for things that I wasn't, you know, later on that I realized that he had prepared me for. And he was just great. Him and Miss Carter, you know, I was just a, you know, almost over the house, almost on every Sunday, you know, being there with him. But Coach Cottrell used to sit down. I remember every time that I was in the school newspaper, he used to put me in the office and say, don't listen to this stuff. Say, you know, you don't get the big head. He was just preparing me for a different level that I didn't understand. I said, what you mean, Coach? He said, no. He said, no, stay focused because all this stuff is just, you know, just fluff. And he wanted to make sure that I stayed on the straight and narrow to the point of not getting caught up in the hype and just let the results keep speaking for himself. So Coach Cottrell prepared me for things that when I think about it, you know, he prepared me for even the racial barrier, the different, he prepared me for everything. And I really appreciate that. And I miss him so much, you know, because I called him a lot.
You said people that just ran in a circle were crazy. And if you're in school, you know, East St. Louis, wherever, heck, around here, you know, some football coach in the offseason can kind of teach you to put your foot in the blocks and go run in a circle. Triple jump's a little bit different. Who got you into that?
Well, you know, it was funny. The first time I triple jumped, it was my senior year in high school, and the coach put me in there because he was trying to make me a two-miler. And I said, I'm either going to run the hurdles or I was going to jump. And he said, the triple jump. And I said, what is the triple jump? So the first time I went to triple jump, I hopped the step, and I landed on the runway. And my whole high school teammates laughed at me, and it was a two-hour drive back to the school. So they teased me and laughed at me. And I said, man, I'm not doing that again, ever again. And what happened was that during that year, that was in February of 78, come April of 78, there was this guy who used to always name the hurdle that he said, I'm going to let you be in front of about the first five hurdles, and then I'm going to take over. And I said, man, this is not going to happen. He had been doing this all my in junior high school. And so I said, this is my senior year. I'm going to beat this guy. So I get in the blocks. And his name was Anthony Hopkins. I never get in the blocks, and I get out, and I false started. And in the state of Illinois, we had a no false start rule, so I got eliminated. I was so upset and so disappointed in myself because this was my senior year, and this was a big county meet. I go over to the triple jump, and I set the meet record. I remember I was up in there. I said, wow, I can't come down. I can't come down. I'm flying. And then I landed. And then all of a sudden I jumped 43.5 feet. And I was so excited. I said, whoa. At the time, my coach was still upset that I jumped the gun. I said, coach, I just jumped 43 feet. He said, I don't care. You should have jumped out of the pit. You shouldn't have been false starting in the hurdles. And so from that day in April, the next every meet, I went from 43 feet, 44 feet, 45, 46, 47. And at the state meet, I went 48.3, finished third in the state. And then I went on to the Junior Olympics and I jumped 50 feet, 51 feet. So all this happened in just that time of me false starting that my whole life turned around. And I ended up winning the Junior Olympics. So the triple jump was by accident, really. But the triple jump has taken me, you know, like I always tell people, I say, have a dream. You know, you may be the worst guy on the track team, which I was. I was the worst guy on the track team at that time. But I believed in myself. And I thought that I wasted so many years at Lincoln in my high school. When I got to Arkansas State, I focused and said, I'm going to see how far this will take me. And little did I know 6 years later, the guy that didn't make it to the pit 6 years ago was the best in the world.
When you come to Arkansas State, Coach Cottrell knows he has a really special athlete. Obviously, you're competing in the triple jump, and you're still the indoor and outdoor record holder over 40 years later in that event. But did you compete in other events while you were here?
Yes, 110-meter hurdles, long jump, 4x1, mile relay. Yeah, Coach Cotchin made me run almost everything.
He's no dummy.
No, that was a very good coaching decision.
Oh, yeah, because with me and Coach Cotchin, I knew he was known for being a great pole vault coach. But I think one of the things that people felt realized, he was just a great coach, period, because he's the one that said, Al, you should be a coach. And I started laughing at him. I said, Coach, I don't want to be a coach. He said, why not? I said, that's why my major's business. I said, no, I don't want to be a coach because I may have to deal with an athlete like myself. And I don't, no way. And so, but Coach Cotchin saw something in me then saying it because I was making up all the triple jump drills that I was doing. And Coach Cotchin would like, he said, oh, that's a good drill. And he used to always say, Al, you should end up doing a book on how to do a triple jump. And now when I think about all, you know, I've been coaching now for going on 30-something years because he also gave me my first coaching job at a university, and that was at Arkansas State University. And then for that to take me to UCLA and then coach for the USOC, United States Olympic Committee, and then also USATL for the past 30-some-odd years, he was right again.
So you talked about you're going to be on the swim team and, you know, really went in triple jump because you false started in the hurdles and all these things, like you just kind of, they're just falling into place. And you end up, you know, winning the Junior Olympics. When did you either first think about it? When did first somebody say something about, hey, you could be in the actual Olympics?
You know what? I always knew I was going to go to Olympic Games, but I just thought I was going to be a swimmer. Like I really said, I just knew I wanted to make an impact. But the thing that happened was the day I landed on Arkansas State University, everybody from the city and the community said, they never said this is our next Olympian. They said, this is our next Olympic champion. And as a young kid, hearing that over and over and over, and I said, wow, everybody believed that I'm going to be a gold medalist. So I started feeding on to that, and I just remember that I had so much energy from especially Jonesboro, Arkansas, because I remember I worked at Sears. They asked me, they wanted me to work up in the front and the retail. I said, no, I need to work in the back. I want to lift the refrigerator. And they had a dock up there in the back of the Sears department store, so I wanted to keep practice jumping up on the dock. I wanted to always stay active. And one of the great memories that I remember is that they said in 1984, one person told me, he said that we was trying to get service in Sears that day. Nobody was working because they was all in the TV section cheering for you. And that speaks volume because everybody in Jonesboro, Arkansas knew I was going to go win before the people in East St. Louis knew I was going to go win. It's always been like a second home.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you and Wolves up.
Visiting with A-State great Al Joyner here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. You go to Los Angeles. You compete in the 1984 Olympics. And at that point, no American had won gold in the triple jump in 80 years. So how much did that motivate you?
Oh, no, that was like a note letting me know that I was going to win, because I went and did research on it. I said, when is the last time American won the gold medal in the triple jump? And so I went back and researched, and it was in 1904, and it was in St. Louis, Missouri. I said, wow, I'm from East St. Louis, Illinois, so it must meant for me to win this thing because that's close enough. So I just knew that medal was meant for me. And it was a great thing because I was going up against one of the, you know, other great triple jumpers, which we both was from. One was from the University of Arkansas and Arkansas State. So it was my time to show and say, no, Arkansas State is better than the University of Arkansas. And that was a big thing for me.
An amazing performance at those 84 Olympics. In fact, you had four of the five longest jumps in the final. You go on to win the gold. So what I want to know is, what's it like to be an Arkansas State Indian in the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum hearing the national anthem. What's it like in that moment on that podium?
It was great because it happened just like my dream. We had assistant coach Bob Williams. Bob Williams and his wife, Marsha, was also head tennis coach at Arkansas State University. Bob wrote me this letter right before I won my national title. I became a national champion at a national USA outdoor championship. And he wrote this letter to me. And I'll never forget, he wrote to me. He said, "Al, congratulations on your first leg of your Triple Crown." He said, "We won't be there for your second leg of the Triple Crown when you make the Olympic team. But me and Marsha will be there at the Olympic Games when they play that national anthem for you." And as I got the medal, Bob and Marsha was right there to wave at me, because Bob was just unbelievable, you know, being a coach. He had already purchased his triple jump tickets in November of 1983, saying that, "This is how much I believe in you. We're going to be there because we know you're going to be there."
Well, I'll tell you this. So,
what a great story.
Yeah. I could speak for both those because we both did it. What year did we go to USC?
That was 2015.
2015, A-State plays at USC in football, and like it was a must-see destination for us. We get there early enough to go to the Coliseum where they've got the Olympic medalist from 1984 list, so we could see Al Joyner's name as a gold medal winner.
Wow. You know what's so funny about that is just that I have been here going on 30-some-odd years, and I said I was going to take my kids up to take a picture because I have yet to go take a picture of that.
Come on now. You got to go
and
back.
That's one of my goals this year. It's funny that you bring that, because I said, wow, I'm going to Barcelona to take a picture, see my sister name on her stadium in Barcelona. But then I said, wait a minute. I haven't even seen my name at this Coliseum. And so since you said that, that's something that's on my list to go do. And just really take a picture of that, because I keep forgetting it and almost not taking it for granted, but just, wow, it's there. And that's like a significant moment, you know, in my life, because like I said, I knew I was going to be the first American winner in 8 years to win it. I corrected Mr. Lampley on national TV when they had told me that there was a gymnast in there. How does it feel to break one of the oldest Olympic records? It was a gymnast. And he said it was 56 years. I said, "Is that just for gymnastics or all Olympics?" He said, "Not all Olympics." I said, "Well, I'm the first American winner in 80 years. And they had to go do research. And they said, "Wow, he's right." Because I wanted to understand the history and the understanding of something that I accomplished. Because all I want to do was that my name be in an almanac book later back on, that somebody said, "Oh, who won in 1984? You know, Al Joyner." And that meant a lot to me. But then to end up being the first American winner in 80 years, and then also being the first African-American winner ever to win that medal, It's kind of like a great feeling, because I was the start of the next time of American triple jumpers that we won it again in 92, then 96. And then just recently we start bringing up the great numbers of American triple jumpers, and everybody always said that it started with me. So it's kind of like I didn't break the world record, but I opened the doorway for the American jumpers, and I was proud to be a part of that. And it all started at Arkansas State University.
Well, and there were so many just incredible storylines with your win. And one of them was that you weren't the only A-State athlete to win a medal in 84. Yeah. Earl Bell won bronze in the pole vault. So what was that
almost
like?
Almost won gold. It was on misses. He almost won gold.
So what was your...
I'm pulling for Earl.
What was your relationship? What is your relationship like with Earl Bell? And how were you guys able to kind of connect during that time?
All the time. I watched Earl practice almost day in and day out. And Earl Bell was one of my research persons that when I really got involved in track and field, like, I didn't really understand it to the point. I used to always wonder, saying, how could you be a world record holder and not the Olympic champion? And so when I read that in 76, I was wondering, why did Earl and these other great athletes didn't win the gold medal? And when I found out that Dwight Stone was the world record holder at that 76 Olympic Games, Earl Bell was also a world record holder. And what I found out was that they had just a good year, those years when it was setting records and stuff. But at the Olympic Games, it rained. And like, I don't think that he was mentally prepared for it. So I realized, I said, I need to start training in rain just in case that it rained at the Olympic Games. That I think it was a mental block that I make sure that I want to have everything covered, and I want to have no excuses And that was one thing, and I learned it. And I used Errol Bell's situation because he'd say it had never rained before, and like I wasn't used to it. I took that little bit of nugget, and I put that in my training regimen to always train in the rain. And for me, I was hoping that it rained in 84.
I know we got some other stuff we're going to ask you about, but I want to hear your take on this because, and I'm plotting and scheming and finding a way to get you to Jonesboro, but I know that you stay plugged into what's going on with the track program now. So how cool is it to see the way that thing is still rocking along and it being another guy that competed for Coach Kochel and Coach Jim Patchell kind of leading the way?
You know what? I'm definitely going to be a part. I want to come back to one of the football games. And it's just that right now, since I was coaching all those years for the USOC and USATF, I've been trying to get back. And I want to come back because I like my wife to see, you know, where it all started. And okay, so I want to just go back to football game. I told people, I said, I remember that when we used to score a touchdown, you know, we used to have the horse run across, you know, everything else for a touchdown. I don't know if they do that anymore. And I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, Arkansas State was my launching pad that where I end up working so hard during the summers, running through the fields and everything else. And I always remember, not even when I see Coach Tuberville, maybe congressman now, I remember he was always asking, he said, Sweetwater, why are you always running in the sun, you know, running in the sun? I said, because I'm on a mission to win this gold medal in Los Angeles. So it's so many memories there for me that made me who I am today of just, you know, just the grinding, which I end up trying to teach kids, like, you don't have to be the favorite, just stick to the plan. And Coach Kochel told me to just end up being the best you can be, and someday that may become the world standards.
Well, when you come back, you're not going to recognize the place.
Yeah, because I know the stadium. I was going to the website just to look at it because I said, wow. I said, I know it's not Running Joe no more, but wow, we're the Wolves.
That's right. You're a Red Wolf now.
Yeah.
So another kind of storyline from that Olympics that was historic, you and your sister Jackie becoming the first brother-sister combination in American history to both win medals at the same Olympics. And I know that was talked about a lot, but maybe one thing a lot of people don't know is that your younger sister Deborah was also an athlete. She played basketball at A-State.
Yes, she played basketball and also volleyball. That's what she came in for. She came to Arkansas State on a volleyball and basketball scholarship partial. Funny, because I ended up saying, why don't you come to Arkansas State? Because she was about to go to Iowa, but she ended up coming to Arkansas State.
So when the Joyner kids would compete, what would you guys compete in against one another?
You know what's so funny is that I was really the only boy on the street, so I made Jackie, all my sisters play with me, and so I had to teach them how to play basketball, all these games, and it's kind of funny that I taught them to play basketball so well that all of them almost beat me. Because Jackie ended up going to UCLA on a basketball and track scholarship and ended up giving Cheryl Miller, the great basketball player at USC. Cheryl Miller was 6'4", Jackie was 5'10", but she was quick in defense. Jackie kept only held to the 4 points every time they played UCLA. So to see that thing is, I made them play with me, and then to see how they became so great, it's heartwarming, but at the same time, it was just my little sisters that, and I was the oldest, and I could tell them what to do.
Well, Al, I tell you, this has been just an absolute thrill for us, and we do hope that you're able to find a way to come back to Jonesboro very soon, and couldn't be more proud to say that Al Joyner is an Arkansas State athlete and alum, and hope to see you really soon.
Yeah, I do, because I want to make sure that we end up getting this new sports arena and everything else and let people know that Arkansas State is a great place. You know, I hope people get behind supporting the stadium and the goal that we have for A-State program, which will help the overall university. And I'm really looking forward to being more involved in that and then coming more to just to do what I can possibly be the best asset that I can be to A-State University.
Because Coach Patchell still has that thing rolling.
And I'm going to be trying to do my best to be a part of it, because I was looking for my Red Wolves jacket that they sent me, so I'm going to have to order me some more stuff.
That's Al Joyner joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We've got more to come right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Well, the NCAA West prelims were held this past week in Fayetteville. Red Wolves had several athletes competing, and congratulations to Selassie Sampram. She advanced to the NCAA Outdoor Championships in Eugene. That was after her fantastic performance in the women's shot put. She actually finished in the top 10 at the West prelims with a personal best of 17.13 meters. She'll be the first NCAA championships qualifier in the women's shot put since Erin Farmer did it for A-State back in 2017. And Selassie will now get set to compete on Thursday, June 6th in Eugene.
And she will be the last Arkansas State athlete competing this year.
Yeah, she's it.
That's always cool, and to see how many make that trip to be the last one. But this year, she's the one. You really had a couple who redshirted in the outdoor season to get ready for an Olympic trials. So, you know, they probably could have been in that mix too. And so, yeah, one headed to Eugene, the last Red Wolf for the year.
The other big thing that's going on in athletics right now are the Howl on Wheels road shows. And when we recorded last week, we actually recorded a day late on Tuesday afternoon, and we had already done the Memphis event, and that was fantastic at the Soul and Spirits Brewery. But that night, we went to Paragould, to Skinny J's, and had a great event.
Yeah, I think enough so that I would bet you Paragould stays in the rotation for a Howl on Wheels stop.
Yeah, we didn't have it last year.
No, and I think you'll see, some kind of moving forward. I would imagine you'll see some stalwarts, you'll see some places where they go all the time, and then some where you're kind of moving around to kind of get at different places, like, you know, a Paragould was this year, like a Mountain Home, even a different place, a place that has kind of gone largely untouched. So, yeah, good event in Paragould.
And then on Thursday night, we went to the system office. You and I and Jerry Scott and Peyton Burr all hopped in the truck and headed down to Little Rock. And, you know, it was a great event last year, and I thought it was every bit as good this year just with the turnout. I don't know how we can fit many more right. people into that room on the rooftop at the system office, but just a fantastic turnout. I thought the energy in the room was great.
Yeah, it was a really good one. Maybe one of the better Little Rock events there's been in recent memory, to be honest with you. And I do like the notion of it being sort of two events in one, with the Red Wolves on the rooftop, which was already an Alumni Association event, and then to kind of do it with Howl on Wheels.
Yeah, that was nice.
You know, kind of gives people, you say two for the price of one, but a chance to, you know, approach, to kind of get hit from two different directions to kind of come turn out. And there was a big turnout, not just from a fan standpoint, then a big turnout before that from a media standpoint. So
yeah,
it's good to see the Central Arkansas media take advantage of having our coaches and Jeff Purinton there at their disposal to get some good coverage that way. And yeah, just overall, that was a really good event. Two of them last week.
Destiny Rogers has not been able to do a couple of the events, And I guess that's a little sidebar here. We've heard a lot of great things at the events from Coach Jones and Coach Hodson, and you mentioned Jeff Purinton and Dr. Todd Shields, but Coach Rogers has been extremely busy, and people kind of ask what's going on with women's basketball right now and all the recruiting, but she had a lot of visits here in the past week, and she continues to really recruit hard.
They're closer to done than a lot of us realize. They're really putting the finishing touches on that roster where we look and you think you're trying to keep town. Well, how many have we heard of or whatever? They're a lot closer
more
to finish than we think. And I know it just from talking with her actually in Paragould when she was at Howl on Wheels that we talked a little bit sort of what their plan is and what they want that number to be. And they're not far from there. And we've seen some kids, you know, even since then, you know, tweet out about their commitments. It's just, it's different. You know, a kid sending it out on Twitter, putting it out, doesn't mean the school can. It doesn't work like that. It's got all the paperwork's got to be done. And it's got to be officially official before the school can talk about it. So I would think, and there's already been some of that, but I would bet here, maybe even by the time you listen to this, there's already been more come out.
Two more Howl on Wheels events coming up this week, Thursday. It'll be the Jonesboro event coming up at the Centennial Bank Athletic Operations Center. That's the football team room that we'll be in. And looking forward to seeing a really big crowd out there, hopefully. Doors open at 5:30. The program starts at 6. And then you mentioned one of the new stops on the tour this year, and that's Mountain Home. That'll be on Friday night at Raps Brewery. And again, doors open at 5:30 and the program begins at 6. But I'm told we had quite a few RSVPs already for the Mountain Home event, and hopefully we pack that one out as well.
Yeah, and as we're sitting here kind of recording this, hopefully everybody up there is okay from the They had some pretty severe storms rolled through there over the weekend. I know it did some damage. And so hopefully everybody is able to bounce back from that and turn out for a fun night. Again, in a city that we've got an Arkansas State campus, and I've been to that campus, and it's beautiful. Some really neat facilities on that campus. But, yeah, I don't know that there's been just a full-on athletics event that we've gone after the folks at Mountain Home in a long time. So be interesting to see how it goes.
Anything else we need to talk about here?
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll wait and see how the Sun Belt does in the baseball tournament. And
congrats to Southern Miss, by the way.
Yeah, hopefully it's a four-bid league again. It's going to be close. Fortunately, there weren't a lot. Really, I think I've seen maybe only two bid stealers, teams that wouldn't have gotten in anyway that won conference tournaments. So maybe it opens a path to get four. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that number would be less than three, but hopefully you can get to four. And I think no matter what, even at four, you know, you could still see a Sun Belt team. Even if the Sun Belt got four in, you could see a Sun Belt team be one of the first few to not make the field even. It's just that many teams in the mix, and obviously that good league as we've talked about. And I don't think either one of us are surprised to see Southern Miss go in and win that tournament based on what we saw of them a few weekends ago.
Thanks again to Al Joyner joining us for this episode. Man, was that a fun visit or what? Not every day you get to interview a gold medal winner at the Olympics, but he was very gracious, very open, and just loved hearing all the stories he had for us.
40 years ago this summer, he and Earl Bell competed in L.A., and yeah, appreciate that. And you know, the next mission becomes to find a date. This podcast, this interview was not the first time I've heard that Al Joyner's looking for a way to get home for a football game. So we'll do our best to hopefully find a date that we can make that happen.
For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.